Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
When the Apostle Paul talks about the believer's weakness in prayer in Romans chapter 8, he is not mentioning anything that any sincere believer has not already concluded for himself. Because those who are most serious about prayer are the ones who are the most aware of their weakness in prayer, and yet I find that virtually all Christians who are sincere and honest will readily admit that prayer is a great weakness of theirs. We are weak in our praying. We're weak in our lack of praying. We're weak in not knowing how to frame our prayers. We're weak many times in the petitions that we make, which are not always the most God-honoring petitions. And so it is very often difficult for us to make precise requests. And the more we grow in grace and knowledge, the more we become aware of our weakness in prayer. But the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells all believers, has been given to us to aid us in many things, and one of the things is to aid us in our prayers. And that's what Paul is telling us in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now Paul is telling us that believers have two divine intercessors in regard to prayer. One is Christ in heaven making intercession for us. He'll get to that in Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So there's God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to redeem us from our sins, who rose from the grave, who ascended back to heaven, who is even now in heaven on the throne of God. And what is he doing? He is making intercession for God's people, as well as defending us against our accuser, Satan. But we not only have a divine intercessor in heaven, namely Christ, but we also have a divine intercessor on earth, namely the Holy Spirit, who indwells us. And our failures, therefore, to understand God's purposes does not mean that effective prayer for our specific needs is absent. The Holy Spirit is there to bridge the gap between our understanding of what we ought to pray for and the proper presentation of our petitions before the throne of God. So pray, believer, pray. If you will, pray with a believing heart, a humble heart, a childlike heart, a sincere heart. You can't go wrong. You can't pray amiss. You can't do anything but be effective in your praying, not because of who you are, but because of the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Again, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I hope you catch my excitement in this. When we pray, the Holy Spirit prays. When we make petitions, the Holy Spirit reframes those petitions in God-honoring terms and presents them before the throne of God's grace. So we stumble. So we falter. So we wrestle with how to pray, what we should say, how we should frame our petitions. We are like children. So often we don't know. But don't let that stop you from praying. You shouldn't be discouraged by that. You ought to say, bless God, I can't go wrong. Unless the only way I can go wrong is to fail to pray. The only way I can fail to get help and benefit from my praying is just not to do it. Because every child of God has the aid of the Holy Spirit. Every child of God has the Spirit of God making intercession for us. That means praying on our behalf when we pray. It doesn't say he's doing this when we are prayerless, but it assures us that he is doing this on our behalf when we pray. And we are furthermore told that the Holy Spirit's praying is in sighs too deep for words. That's the last part of verse 26. He prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings which cannot be uttered. What does that mean? Well, Paul has already talked about the groan of creation, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. He's talked furthermore about the groans of believers in verse 23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So creation groans. The believer groans. The Holy Spirit of God groans. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now some have taken that to be tongues. That this is the tongues, that when believers are praying in tongues and praying something which they don't understand, that's the Holy Spirit making intercession for them in groanings which cannot be uttered. Is that a proper understanding of this text? I think not. Why not? Well, because you just don't show a lot of sympathy for this position, do you? This idea of the current exercise of the sign gift. So that's why you don't interpret it that way. Well, let me give you a more basic reason. The Bible makes it very clear that tongues are not for all believers. Must I document that for you? Maybe I'll do that in just a moment, but hear me through first. But this text makes it very clear that the work of the Holy Spirit in making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered is for every believer. You get the point? The scripture itself tells us the tongues are not for all believers. The Bible does not expect all believers to speak in tongues, to exercise the gift of tongues. So where do you find that? Well, let's see here. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. So he's listed a whole number of categories here and several gifts of the Spirit in verse 28. Verse 29, he asks a number of questions. All of these are followed with question marks, and here are the questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, the answer is so obvious to each of these questions that the answer isn't given. It's assumed that we'll understand what the answer is. The answer to every one of these questions is no. Go through the questions again. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Well, are they? Are all believers apostles? Does God say that every believer is an apostle of Christ? Obviously not. The answer is no. Are all prophets? Again, the answer is no. Everybody, I think, understands that not all believers are prophets. Are all teachers? Well, again, the answer is no. Not every believer is a teacher. Some have the gift of teaching. Some are appointed to a teaching ministry who have a gift from God to publicly teach the word of God. But not all believers fall into that category. I'm talking to a lot of believers today who don't have the gift of teaching. You know that. Are all workers of miracles? Is it God's intention that every believer work miracles? The answer is obviously no. Do all have gifts of healing? The answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. No. The obviously understood answer for every one of these questions is no. In other words, even when the sign gifts were still in operation, and I am one who does not believe that they still are, but if you believe they are, when they were, if they still are, the same thing holds true. Not all believers have all gifts. There is not a single gift of the Spirit that is given to all believers. There's variety in the body, and some have this gift, and some have that gift. Some have gifts of administration and gifts of help. Others have gifts of teaching and other kinds of gifts that involve the ministry of the Word. Not all believers have that. Not all believers have or had the gifts of healing. Not all believers have or had the gift of tongues. Those are gifts that are given to some in the body and not all in the body. Different members of the body have different gifts by the design of God, and each one is to exercise whatever gifts have been given to him to the glory of God. And when the body is pulling together in teamwork and harmony and unity, then all the gifts are present and all are being exercised, but not all believers are supposed to have all the same gifts. God didn't design it that way, and the Scripture makes that very clear. So, could this be tongues in Romans 8:26? No, because Paul is here talking about something that is true of all believers. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, all you Roman Christians, or Christians in the church at Rome, all believers everywhere, actually by extension. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. This is true of all of us. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, all of us who are Christians, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is not tongues. This is something that the Holy Spirit does to take the deepest longings of our heart that we're not even able to express in words, and he presents those before the throne of God. The unconverted man does not groan over his weakness in prayer. Believers do. And this groaning is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And this is what Paul is no doubt talking about in Ephesians 3:20, when he says the Holy Spirit is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. When we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us to pray, he helps us to pray even when we're not thinking straight. When we have needs and longings and groanings that we don't even know how to articulate, God the Holy Spirit does. And he presents those petitions, those feelings, those needs, those groanings effectively before the throne of grace in prayer. What a marvelous truth. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.